MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Everything was neat. All the chairs were tucked in. It was fine. I didn't have to move anything, and I just walked through and came back. And then just now, I got up and walked around, did the same loop, and there were like 10 chairs as askew in there as I've ever seen. I don't understand. Like, what happened to those chairs?
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know. What would make the most sense?
And the Bulldog.
I am shook by this. Honest to God, I do not understand what just happened.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Did you go down there during a break and move the chairs?
I've been doing it every day.
It was me all along!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I kind of miss that, actually. I kind of miss just randomly going down to that conference room and moving stuff around. Just to see if you'll ever accuse me.
You shouldn't have gone as hard as you went that one time because it was, you know.
I was ready
to reach a conclusion.
Resolution.
Yeah, I understand.
The timing was so perfect. 5 o'clock on a Friday, you come in, like early enough in the break where you could explain it all to me. And then it was just perfect.
Right. It did work out pretty well. Did you know, I don't know if you got the same tweet. I don't remember if you were tagged in it. But when you were talking about the Q-tips in the parking lot, somebody said, Bulldog, that should have been a gag you were doing. Mm-hmm. Or you should try to. I'm like, I'm not that guy.
Well, you know, you'd be littering.
Correct.
Like, yeah. If you told me for a joke I should dump Q-tips on the parking lot, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Just like, it would be wrong. Whoever's doing it,
it
would be wrong.
Yeah, I suppose I could do it I can't do it now because we're talking about it, but I could have like just put a whole bunch by your car and then made sure I cleaned them up afterwards.
Oh, okay. Or something.
not leave them
sure.
There to be. But anyway.
You could have.
It was a good gag by you. And it coincided with me being out of town, right? Was that after I got back from vacation? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever. It was good.
The schedule comes out. The Bills schedule comes out tomorrow night. We don't have a single known game of theirs slotted. Of course, we always know who they will play and where, but just not when. Which, you know, that alone is enough for some people to sort of distance themselves from the schedule. Like Will Graves, our guest yesterday, is like, we already know all the games. What is so interesting about the order? I do love it. Sal was on earlier and said, and if I'm misstating this, I hope you or he or mm-hmm. someone will tell me, he's hearing more along the lines of the Bills opening week one at home on Sunday night against Cincinnati. And I'd be not surprised or definitely not shocked by that, but just kind of, I don't know if I think of the Bengals really as like on that level for that game, but I'm also somebody who thinks sometimes the games week one aren't a fit because the matchup is too good. And I guess I might say Baltimore-Buffalo, for me,
qualifies.
Does I think it qualifies, yeah. It certainly Kansas City does, Philadelphia does, but those are not possibilities for week one. They're already booked in other slots.
Yeah. Well, the Sunday night idea for them, it does make sense in that they are one of the top four or five teams in the league. And what do we know already? Well, we know the opener was going to be Philadelphia all along. They're the Super Bowl champs. We know Kansas City, although this still hasn't been officially announced, but we know Kansas City is going to be Friday night in Brazil against the Chargers. So there's you got the Eagles and the Chiefs, the two Super Bowl participants. I don't know where Washington fits into this or Detroit for opening weekend anyway, but the Bills being in a prime spot for the first week of the season makes sense. If they're looking to put all of the top contenders or a few of the top contenders in standalone windows. The Bills certainly qualify, and then therefore Sunday night fills that need, if that's not a sloppy way to say it. Like if they were looking to put all the best teams in standalones, well, they'd be 3-for-3 there on those. Again, there's other teams that rank, I think, with Detroit and Washington, and in the AFC, Baltimore certainly ranks. But that might be my list. So we'll see. Maybe one of those two teams will be a Monday night game, and you've got, you know, all the heavy hitters or most of the heavy hitters represented in standalone primetime type games.
Sure. This would be a first, right, to get the Sunday night opener. They've had the Thursday night opener as the Rams opponent.
Right.
So they rated well enough to get that call. They had a Sunday night opener a long time ago against the Titans, maybe 2000 season, but that wasn't the signature.
Yep.
That wasn't the signature game that it is now. Then, and I don't think that there's been another. They've had the Monday night opener with Rodgers a couple of years ago, and I don't know, maybe another time, but this would be another new distinction for them if they got Sunday night week one. How does it sound to you? 803-0550 is the number. When we talked to Sal, the point was made how the Bengals have been a poor early season team. I mean, last year, losing to New England in week one, they had a couple of bad losses 2 years ago right away, one in Cleveland, and that can change. But I think from a competitive standpoint, I like it. I don't know why, really, other than that Cincinnati has kind of needed to warm up.
Yeah,
other seasons.
That's enough, I think, for competitive. That's enough. So I also like it, and I felt like they, even though they're not, Baltimore outranks them. They're close enough to me, and I like your point about, you know, because you are the one who always says that. Always might be a little strong, but like, too good. The game's too good. You can't have Bills Chiefs that early in the year. You got to push it in more towards the middle. And you know, the Ravens Bills probably meets that criteria more than the Bengals do. So it might fit pretty well. And I also think that the league would be right to be viewing the Bengals as, you know, last year was just an aberration. They're on this level. We'll see if that's right. I mean, you know, they got to go play some games. There was a lot that went wrong for them last year. And I don't know how well, you know, they've managed to supplement that. I mean, they're in a fight now with their best defensive player by a mile. Currently, Hendrickson's talking to the press today about it getting personal with him and the coach and all this stuff. So maybe there'll be some drama, but there's plenty of time to get that sorted out. I like it. The only thing I don't like about it is for sentimentality reasons, talking and thinking about like what has been the most regular experience going to the stadium. It's been 1 o'clock Sunday, and so an opener is even more so enhanced. It's the first game of the season, here we are, and it's, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, get the grill in the back of the truck and let's get out there. And you know, a night game gives you more run-up, but it's just a different routine, and it's not the most frequent routine that fans have experienced. But nobody's going to throw a primetime home game to open the season out of bed or anything. But
no,
I liked 1 o'clock Sunday.
You have all day,
right?
This way, you know, to take it in, last opener out there. So would work for me. Sal wasn't telling us that it was official or anything like that, but he did say he's starting to hear that matchup specifically on Sunday night week one as what we might get. 803-0550 is the number. I know some of you are saying, why not the Chiefs? Because they would be on a short week, having played 2 days earlier in Brazil, and then the travel, and that would really seem optimal. You get them having just played 48 hours earlier, but the league would not do that. They would not do that to Kansas City.
You'd have a tough time getting a direct flight from São Paulo to Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, that would not be possible.
Hold on, I've just been notified these teams have their own planes.
Oh, well, that's true. Maybe it will happen. Maybe they'll give the Chiefs two, because it's nighttime, it's prime time. Maybe they'll give them two games in the first week. Would anybody ever take that in exchange for a week off?
Play two games in 3 days?
Yes.
I'm gonna
guess. Sort of like work a double.
Right.
And then, you get a day off for it.
Right.
I mean, I'd probably take that sometimes.
Sure.
Two shows at once.
This is
back to back, and then you get the next day off. I would take that sometimes. Not every time.
Yeah. I don't find this that physically taxing, though.
But that's, that is a difference.
Yeah.
Pro Football Network has a ranking of what they think are the top 25 games of the year on the schedule as we wait for dates and times and everything. And they have three Bills games in the top six, with Baltimore at Buffalo number six, Kansas City at Buffalo number four, Philadelphia at Buffalo number three. Top two, second choice Ravens at Chiefs, first choice Eagles at Chiefs. So, not surprising to see those names. But as we've said many times, and it's great how it's the last year of the stadium to have three or four, if you include Cincinnati, especially if that's week one prime time, you'd want to, marquee games, all at home. I mean, that's just really cool for them to
It is really go out cool. on that and note. And it does. I read today, it was a one piece of the, I like what we've seen so far, even though we haven't seen anything, right? The Bills don't have to go to Europe or South America. So the furthest travel is Houston. And so only one game outside of this time zone, and it's not even the West. It's the central time zone. So I like that. Another piece of that I omitted when I mentioned it earlier in the show is that they have the fifth easiest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you think about how marquee those opponents are, it really is something that shines a light on just how down the AFC East is, really. Because you get a home schedule where you've got the Eagles and the Bengals and the Ravens and the Chiefs all coming in. Think, man, this schedule is brutal. What a meat grinder. No, it's actually the fifth easiest schedule. And yes, those are harder games. You're going to have hard games. But the rest of it, and I think a lot of it has to be just the state of the AFC East. And I happen to think, I don't know that this doesn't have to be right, but I think Miami's probably going to be down too. So even if you like a year ago at this time, I thought they're still a real threat, and I don't have to be right about this, but I just think they're going the wrong way. And so I don't know where the threat in the division is largely. Can New England, how fast can New England put it all together? Because I don't feel like I'm that worried about Miami. Definitely not as much as I was last year. I was talking them up a lot last year.
Miami trips me up because in a league that's, kind of by rule almost unpredictable, the Dolphins are a challenge. As somebody that tends to, overthink, which is, when you get it wrong, you've overthought it. When you get it right, you thought it through.
What a well-reasoned analysis you provided.
It's always about the result that tells you whether you overthought it. But Miami doesn't seem too complicated. They've been the same team for 3 years now. Same coach, same principal players, same reputation. Good enough to beat bad teams, even sometimes scoring 70 points in the process. Like, they've been highly explosive in the right matchup. And then it gets cold, and then they play better teams and even make the playoffs, and they're just no match for the Bills. I mean, they've given the Bills close games, but really, it's rare that they've beaten them at all. And in those big spots, they're kind of an easy team to bet against, or they have been. So overthinking it is, that can't just last forever.
Right.
But why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't you be able to trust that? Maybe they're good enough to beat the Jets twice and to beat the NFC South teams. They play the same, almost the entire same schedule as the Bills, of course. I think they'll play Indianapolis instead of Houston. Why can't they win 9 or 10 games? The over-under on Miami, I think, is 8.5. Maybe 8.5, I think, is the number. So right down the middle. It's just, I don't know if I want to go in a different direction with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is it? Like, you're talking about they'll be worse. And maybe they're going to have to come up with some kind of new – new stuff because, like, it isn't fresh anymore. The Dolphins, their offense, quarterback with his history. Yeah, it's hard for me to get, like, really optimistic for the Dolphins.
Yeah, it feels very much to me like that the McDaniel idea, which I liked, but I was sort of skeptical. Like, is his style going to work for a room full of football players? Like, because everyone's different, but sort of this sort of laid back, bro-y kind of dude. He might be the most dude NFL coach that there is, McDaniel. And I got nothing against dudes. I like dudes. Some of my best friends are dudes. So, but is that an effective football coach? And now that it sort of feels like this is it, everybody could rally around that, I suppose. But my bet would be that it goes the other way and worse. Like, guys recognize that he's maybe in trouble, and if they were already only half tuned in to begin with, discipline wise, showing up for meetings and all that kind of stuff, that is going to get even further away from him. And, you know, that doesn't have to be a reason. Maybe you go out and Tyreek Hill's just incredible again and gets almost 2,000 yards and you outscore everybody and you have a great year in spite of all this. But, man, I just think the cracks are getting bigger there, and I think he'll have a harder time keeping a handle on that team because I think certain kind of players, certain kind of people will recognize that he might be vulnerable. And this, I'm tuning him out.
Whatever. Easy to quit on?
Yeah, easy to quit on.
I don't know.
I think, yeah.
Like, Tyreek Hill is almost a microcosm of them, of the team. In, like, he was a malcontent end of last year to these points. He's 31 now. He's 5'10", 190s. He's not somebody... Like, it's usually bigger guys that hold up for longer, and we went through this with Diggs. Like, you get to an age where maybe it's time to move on, and that could be Tyreek Hill at this point. I know in fantasy, when we talk about him, there's really not that much excitement anymore about Tyreek Hill. Last year's a first-round pick. Now he goes, like, sometimes into the third round because people just don't want to bet as confidently on him. And, you know, he had off-season surgery, too. Like, is he even going to be 100%? But, yeah, it's you add up the Dolphins, and it doesn't seem too promising. There's talent. The Jets and the Patriots, and I'll probably be at risk, you're talking about McDaniel, of stereotyping a little bit. But, I mean, Vrabel is a brand in the NFL. And you know what that is. Like, the Patriots are about to muscle up. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are so obviously the target for the other teams. Miami was, I mean, the Bills would beat them, but Miami was scary for a minute a couple of years ago. Like, are they unstoppable? And they weren't. New England is going to try to build a certain kind of team. And I think I get the same sense from Aaron Glenn that that's what he wants to do too. Yep. Make the Jets just tougher. And if they're going to lose to the Bills, make it hurt. Just stop. Not that they were exactly, but rolling over for them. The Jets have kind of, certainly the last time they met, it was that with Rodgers, and it's 40-0 in the third quarter. Right. Like, no resistance at all. So going into a team that really badly needs some kind of that. And I don't know, maybe it won't be anything this year, but I think those two teams want to do that. And maybe Miami has really never pulled that off. You know, it's somewhat of a stereotype.
Yeah.
Where they're located versus New York, Boston, Buffalo, like you have a certain image. And the Dolphins, when have the Dolphins ever been like
gritty and tough?
Nasty. I don't know. 1974? I never think of them this way. That's probably not fair. I mean, they've had great players, but they don't seem like they won't necessarily be next to this presumed rebrand that the Patriots and the Jets,
right,
I think, appear to be into. I don't know. It's it'll be interesting. Will the Bills have kind of an easy ride like last year? If they do, last year they, I think we said, clinched the AFC East on December 1.
Yes.
They had 5 games left after that. And any sort of finality to the stadium with the playoffs looming, win the division, you're going to be at home in the playoffs, will be a little anticlimactic maybe, which is not a bad thing since you know there'll be a postseason game at the stadium or two. Or three, even. You could have three.
That's right. You could not get the one seed but then end up at home like almost happened in 21. Although they wouldn't have had three home games that year, but they would have been home for the championship.
That's right. Lines open if you want to talk about the schedule, the division, anything of the sort with us. 803-0550 is the number. Only one new reveal, to my knowledge, today in terms of the schedule at all. The international games were made official, but there were no surprises. That had all been reported. Just a Week 10 Monday night game, Philadelphia at Green Bay, is the big reveal we got from ESPN today. Thanks. I mean, that's almost offensive that was it. Not Week 1, not a doubleheader. Very disappointing. Lines are open for you. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. Not looking for credit. In fact, probably I should do more of this. That should be maybe the takeaway.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was watching the basketball game when Tatum went down.
Oof.
I watched the second half of the game. It was great. When I turned it wasn't the beginning of the third quarter. When I turned it on, he and the Celtics were just like on fire. They got up 14. They've been up, you know, in all their losses, they've been up big. They got up 14 and still third quarter. Knicks got it closer by the end of the third quarter and then kind of took the game over and had the lead when he went down. And it just was Achilles, you know, like they show you can roll an ankle, but he was in such bad shape and you didn't really see anything obvious. Maybe you could have seen his Achilles, but you didn't really see his ankle turn or anything like that. And just that could be it.
Yeah.
And he was like carried off, sobbing maybe, just had his face covered, wheelchair. The whole thing, like tough, very tough to watch.
Yeah.
When Rodgers got hurt against the Bills, remember what that looked like? He was sacked or threw incomplete.
No, he was sacked. Leonard Floyd got him. Yeah, I think it was a sack. Yes.
So he gets up and then sort of sits down.
Yeah.
And I remember it was my brother-in-law Mike who texted me right away. Achilles question mark?
Yeah.
Because, you know, on his face, he had a certain expression, Rodgers, not like in agony. What does that injury feel like? It's just weird, people say. It's not like it's excruciating, but it's just like, ugh.
Something's really wrong.
Something's really wrong.
Yeah.
And he got up, or maybe he was on one foot, and then went right to sit down on the turf. And when he texted me that, I'm like, yeah, you might be right. Might be right. This could be over. What a shocking thing that was. This could be over already.
Four plays into the season.
Five plays, whatever it was, just right
four,
away.
Four is the number I got was in my four? Head. Yeah, I think. That was – well, you picked a good game to – so I watched the game Sunday. Yeah, it's like, when's the Nick comeback thing happen? Like, Celtics are up by 30. I'm just like, come on. When's it going to happen? It never happened. And now they've lost him. Jeez, that's what a tough.
I didn't get the Shamrock text from Sam today, like on the weekend.
Right.
They have a lot in Boston.
I got that on Sunday, too.
You know, if he doesn't get hurt but they lose the game, I wonder what the odds are. I haven't looked to see what they are anyway. If he's available, which he won't be, for the rest of the series, is Boston with two out of three at home still even favored? Maybe. I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah.
But not now, I bet.
Right.
3-1 down without him. I'm not here to tell you what kind of chances they have, but the Knicks are the favorite now. I know that much in the East. So, tough to watch him get hurt. All right, well, back to the NFL, back to the Bills, the schedule coming out tomorrow night. The draft, you'll remember the name Elijah Badger.
Sure, Florida receiver. Trapasso liked him a lot.
Exactly. Did you know he was in Kansas City?
I guess not. Was he a undrafted free agent signing of theirs? Then I feel like that sounds somewhat familiar to me. There's a reason I even asked that. I think he went undrafted, and that's how he ended up there.
That's correct. UDFA.
And I did see that, and it annoyed me that someone Chris liked.
Why is it always the Chiefs?
Went to Kansas City, right. Right.
They have Jalen Royals, who was maybe a fourth-round pick.
Right.
And we talked about him, too, as we've – and it's not believe it or not, it's not every day anymore with the wide receiver stuff. Like, the draft is behind us, and a lot of that, I guess, controversy that stemmed from it is too, at least for now. But I had said, like, for me, the fourth round was the whole point, because there were a couple, including Royals, there were a couple of interesting options there, or even the third, but the Bills at first were not in the third round. Like, that was really, I think, the pocket because of two things. The players, you know, players like Royals and maybe other people would have different names that seemed to have potential to really make it in the league. And then also how that drops off when you get into the sixth and the seventh round, the receiver hit rate is very poor. It is mostly for all of day three. But in the fourth round, I can talk myself into this is a guy. Like, I would be doing that with Jalen Royals and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody that I can imagine being on the field and helping them. We were looking yesterday at the rankings that Warren Sharp tweeted of all the teams by their wide receiver cap hit. And Kansas City is right near the bottom because their guys are so young. They haven't had to extend anybody yet. Worthy, Rice. Now, this guy's a rookie, so obviously him.
Right.
Hollywood Brown is
modest contract for a second
cheap.
Year in a row. Yeah. Well, the pick, see, this is why, like, when it all happened, I was not as hot. Like, I liked the Jalen Royals' name came up. He was one of any number of a half a dozen or so guys that we might have talked about that could be in that sort of range Saturday pick. I really liked the Deion Walker pick, and they moved to do that, right? Or did they stay put? Okay, that's pick 109. So that's ahead. I just looked. Royal was pick 133.
Mm-hmm.
But I think – or no, it was Sanders they moved way up to go get, wasn't it?
In round two.
I'm trying to remember if they moved at all for Walker. But anyway, that would have been the pick. That's the round anyway. I don't know. I think I'm mistaken about them moving up. I think that was only the Sanders pick. But I really like the Walker pick. Like, I respect a lot that he had a down year this year, and off of the year before, he looked like a player that would be a first-round player, maybe even a high first-round player. So let's take a shot that fills a need if it hits. Like, that could be a really nice value pick. So I wasn't mad. I wanted a receiver. I've wanted a receiver for a few years, but I wasn't really bent about it at all because I like the Walker pick. And I feel like Royal was, he's not the last receiver pick, but it was like the last of the guys
of
that we had thought about.
Right.
I think. And so
that's where I was.
I don't know if I'm sitting at the draft and it's my pick and both guys are in play and it's reasonable to consider either guy here, I can't tell you for sure I wouldn't have just drifted to the receiver like out of habit, but I really like the Deion Walker pick. And that really, to me, mitigated how bent I was, anyway, about them not doing anything until they did on, with their last pick with Prather. So, I hope that works. I guess it's a long way to go. Who doesn't, right? But I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, it might be the most interesting year I can think of for talking about their defensive line and combinations and pecking order and all of that stuff. It's all the draft picks plus Bosa plus the two guys who are suspended eventually will get there. There's just a lot of new pieces, and they have some holdovers too, like just how they do it. It's not the topic that I rush to very often, no pun intended, is like how they're lining up front. Okay, there's a rotation. Got a couple guys in free agency. Okay. Also not to me like how make or break, this is where I'm going to either win or lose this game relative to quarterback, obviously, and other things. But I think this will be a fun year for sort of monitoring camp. You know, like,
yeah, there are a lot of new bodies. Yeah, that's right. You just said that. I mean, these draft picks, I mean, provided Walker's healthy, I feel like he's in the rotation. I think Landon Jackson, the third round pick, the edge guy, is in the rotation. TJ Sanders absolutely is in the rotation. And that's with Rousseau and Epinesa and Oliver and Daquan Jones still already here. And I haven't even mentioned Bosa and Hoyt and Ogunjobi. Like, that's. Yeah, it's a makeover.
Yeah, it is.
Is really what they've done up there. You know, it all has to work, obviously, for it to be impactful, but it.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's pretty dramatic what they've done up there.
Yeah, just taking a break from when will the games be,
right,
to who's on the team. Just a little bit of a diversion there. Lines are open for your thoughts on the schedule, 803-0550, or on, you know, the last few minutes, what we've been talking about here, the Bills and their draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this here on WGR. Welcome back. The Bisons are home this week, starting tonight against Worcester. Bulldog, it's not been a great season yet. 14-23.
Tough.
Gonna have to turn that around. Not quite Rocky's stuff, but.
Sorry, Tuesdays, I think, mean $2 dogs, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know what that does to the players.
Yeah, I don't think it does much, although it could provide a crowd that is happy and well-fed.
Yes, that's well-fed.
Maybe.
Well said. The Rockies win total I saw today, the new one, is down to 42.5. Started at 59.5. That's the one Sam was all over.
Amazing.
Now it's down to 42.
I texted him over the weekend. There was a vote of confidence maybe on Friday, and then on Saturday night they lost 21-0, and then the next day the manager was fired. And when the vote of confidence happened before Bud Black got fired, and they lost 21-0 on the heels of Terry Pegula flying into Montreal to visit the Sabres, right? Same sort of vibe. Like, the solution's in the room. 21-0. I'm like, I feel like you should get to win your bet right now for that. Like, it's amazing that happened.
If you ever lose a game 21-0, I think the starting pitcher that they faced was making his major league debut also. Some sort of record like that to win your first ever game 21-0.
Right.
Automatic cash the tickets for the unders, you're
right,
saying.
Right, yes.
Here is Steven next. Hello, Steven.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, you were talking about the improvements on defense, and that gives me great hope because that was the Bills' weakness. You know, we saw that last year throughout the season. So I think Brandon Beane's made some really good moves with the draft and free agency with who he signed up for that. On the offensive side of the ball, now I was talking to your screener about this. You know, there's a rumor mill running amok on the internet and, stuff about, like, for instance, you know, the possibility of the Bills getting Gabe Davis back. But, you know, your screener told me, well, right now he's talking to San Francisco. I'd heard something about Amari Cooper possibly coming back. But anyway, the main one I'm concerned about is James Cook. Now, Jeremy and Joe Marino and Joe Orlovsky were talking on the Squad broadcast about how they looked up statistics. I think it was them. about how from like the 2 yard line to the end zone, you know, with the Bills scoring running, you know, touchdowns, it's mainly been Josh Allen, not James Cook. He's from further out. You know, he got 16 touchdowns this year and over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
So we've all heard about, you know, the story where he's been at the gambling table, asked about, you know, what's the status, you know, whether he's going to, you know, be back. And he just said, let business be business, something like that. So I'm just wondering, have you guys heard anything about Cook? If he's, you know, if they're, you know, they're solidifying his contract.
No.
They said he was in the last year of his rookie contract,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen there. And Jerry Ostrowski is the name you wanted there, not Joe, our buddy from BetSweats. Jerry and Jeremy and Joe are doing a recently launched podcast. Anyway, no, I think the Bills' stance on it is anything can happen at any time, of course, but I don't think there's urgency there. The way Bean sounds to me is like he's expecting Cook to just come and play out his contract. I'm expecting that to be what happens, myself, unless he comes in at a much lower number than what I think it seems like he started out at. I don't think anything's really going to change there.
Yep. I don't have anything new for either. The Vikings are going to play back-to-back games in Europe. What if that were us?
I would hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't want to play any games in Europe.
I don't want to play. I don't want to go. I want to go visit Europe, but I don't want my football team that's trying to win their first ever championship that has been very, very close to have to go to Europe. I'm very relieved that they don't have to go to
Europe. You think it's not? It doesn't correlate to a successful season quite as well as you'd like it to.
Right, quite as well. I don't think it has to kill your season. It didn't kill their season a couple of years ago, but it. I just don't think it helps.
I'd like to see the data on that. One reason why I think teams that go to Europe maybe haven't won more is that they're Jacksonville a lot.
Right.
A lot of those teams are Jacksonville.
Right.
But, you know, from a fan's standpoint, it's one thing. It'd be amazing if you could afford
to go spend 2 weeks
or whatever.
Europe,
like,
yeah.
8 days is right. Enough to see two games
right.
In two different countries. That's pretty good.
And tour...
Yeah.
Europe while you're there in between the games. Yeah, that works.
That'd be a dream.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. And I think competitively it's okay.
Well, I think if you got to go, maybe it's better to go and stay for 2 weeks.
There's that. The point we right. Went all into when the Jaguars were there for an extra week and the Bills maybe suffered for that. And it's two road games on your schedule that you don't have to make. At Pittsburgh, at Cleveland. Maybe weather issues in either case. Like, you could just, you know, it might end up being a relief that you don't have to make those trips. You're doing this instead, neutral sites, all at once, kind of. So,
yeah.
I don't know about, like, what my chances of winning are over historically if I'm making a trip to Europe at all. And you might be right to think that they go down. But I do think, you know, of all the ways to do it, this is a good one. I don't know if we'll come out of it thinking like Minnesota got an advantage from it, but they do get to avoid making potentially raunchy road trips to Cleveland and Pittsburgh. You know, they shouldn't have any sort of issues with weather where they're going instead.
Right, yeah. Competitively on the field, that I feel like is advantage Minnesota. The question is how much does it affect them being away from home for two straight weeks? You know, guys have families that could be, you know, challenging.
Right. So that's something to talk about. There was a cool rumor, maybe not cool, but kind of a big one earlier. I was sort of hoping we would get it today. I'll tell you what it is. And basically just so that when it does happen, if it does, then we'll
have
said
it. Credit for it.
Yeah, I'll take credit.
Right.
Lines are open for your calls at 803-0550. The schedule release is tomorrow night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.